we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us here on the program. Walker Wildman in studio with you live on this fresh new edition of the program. And we'll be with you for the next hour, 55 minutes to be exact. And a reminder to subscribe to the podcast. Those of you who enjoy listening to the program, you can subscribe to At the Core Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple, Android, Spotify, Roku, whatever device you use, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Signs at the rally you just held were people standing there saying,
"Thank you, Bobby." Bobby said, "Let's get warmed up. Let's get ready to rumble." I thought he had some kind of like, "It's Monday," show clip. So I just let him have it.
No, nothing good. Sorry. Flipping a switch there.
When you run the board, you can have it whenever you want, Bobby.
This is true, but that timing is everything, they say.
Yes, that's duly noted. Duly noted. Well, hey, just a reminder as well. I mentioned the podcast. One more reminder, and that is that we'll be here live with you a week from tomorrow for election night coverage. We'll begin our coverage at 6 p.m. Central. Here on AFR, we'll be live streaming the video on Facebook and X and stream.afa.net as well. So we'll have a plethora of opportunities for you to watch or listen to our election 2024 coverage the evening of the election. And we were here in 2016, actually across the street in our old building, And we actually called the election a little bit before the networks did, and we ended up being right a couple hours later. But, I mean, they drug their feet. I mean, Trump was up in all these different battleground states, and they drug their feet, and they didn't want to call it. And finally, around midnight or 1 a.m., they ended up calling it. But that was an interesting night, one to be remembered. And so you'll want to be here for election coverage a week from tomorrow. 6 p.m. Central is when we'll start our live broadcast. Well, our scripture for the week, we're in Psalm 134. "Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, lift up your hands to the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." And so, verse 1, "Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord." The question I have for our audience today is, do you consider yourself a servant of the Lord? That's a legitimate question that we should ask ourselves, because we know what the scripture says, that God is our creator, Jesus is our master, he's our king, and we are to be God's servants. We are to be salt and light. We're to be God's servants. And so it's fitting to ask yourself, are you a servant of God? Not are you a believer in God or a believer in Jesus? That's one answer. That's one question. But as believers, are you also a servant? And having a servant mentality is unique, and it's fitting for those who follow Jesus, who believe in Jesus, and who trust in him for salvation. We ought to be striving to be servants of the King. That is our place in the hierarchy. We are servants of our Master, and our Master is King Jesus. And so ask yourself today, are you a servant? And if there's any hesitation there, then there's probably something you need to look at in your life and in your heart and how you view yourself before the King of Kings. That's a Psalm 134 for for the week. Well, moving into some of the stories I want to get to this week, there's just a lot to unpack over the weekend. And the first one is something that is not surprising, but yet I've predicted it. This is a report out of Breitbart, but it's actually citing a report out of the Wall Street Journal. And the report is titled, "Brace for Unrest If Donald Trump Wins," the Democrats warn. And this report cites the Wall Street Journal, and they actually did an entire piece on this. And listen to this. The reason I predict this is because, well, number one, this happened the first go-around. Remember all of the violence and protest and hysteria when Trump won the first time, completely unexpectedly. But the same people that protested then, that burned down America's streets in the summer of 2020, those are the same Democrat operatives that are around today. And after the first assassination attempt on President Trump's life, I actually said on the radio the following day that I don't expect this, or it was the days following, I said I don't expect the rhetoric to calm down, to level out, because the people that are pushing the dangerous rhetoric against conservatives and Christians and President Trump and his supporters, they have no ability within themselves to self-correct, to rein themselves in. And this is the problem with ungodliness. There's many problems, but this is one of the problems, the glaring problems with a pagan society, with ungodly people, is if there's no motive, there's no incentive to control your emotions and your anger and your feelings, then you'll just let it go. You'll just completely lose control. And that's where we are now. We have a segment of our population. I don't know what the percentage is, but we have a pretty substantial segment of the American populace that they don't recognize God. They don't believe there is a God. They are secular humanist. They believe in themselves. They believe in man as the ultimate authority. And this conservative, evangelical Christian movement that makes up a large portion of the Republican Party, they view us as trying to control and rein in and regulate their sinful, depraved desires. And they don't view them that way. They view their desires as being liberating and fulfilling, and they're the ultimate authority, and you can't tell me how to live. I mean, tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. And so when you are in this ideology, this worldview of paganism, hedonism, as my grandfather Don Wildman called it, then there's no self-checks, folks. And anybody who tries to self-correct, who tries to bring in any ounce of responsibility and decency and self-control, well, they get denounced as being narrow-minded, bigoted, hateful, homophobe, theocrat, whatever word they want to call out. Half the stuff they don't even know what they're saying, but it sounds bad, it sounds dirty. This is what you get. And so the Democrat Party, and this is what makes the two parties distinct. There may be some overlap here and there, but what makes the Democrat Party distinct amongst maybe independents or Republicans or whatever other kind of party you want to look at, the Democrats have full-on embraced paganism, hedonism, and godlessness. I mean, they have fully embraced it. This is not just a sliver of their party makes up pagans and unbelievers and hedonists. No, this is the party, okay? This is the party. And when someone shouts that Jesus is king or Jesus is Lord at a Kamala Harris rally, well, they get told by the person, by the candidate herself, that, hey, you're at the wrong rally. The whole Jesus is Lord chant at this rally, that's just not welcome. You're clearly in the wrong place. There's no Jesus or God here at all. And then you flash back to the Democrat convention when they were crowning Obama to be their nominee. Well, God was booted from the convention, and God was literally booed at the convention. See, they don't mention God in their documents at all. They're not even playing pretend. And so this is why when I say they don't have any self-check, they don't have an ability to rein themselves in, this is what you get. And there's still, thankfully, a large portion of our society. They may not be born-again believers, but they, in their mind, know that there probably is a God, and they, at least to some degree, want to adhere to either biblical norms or traditional Western norms of civility and society. But the Democrat Party, they've just completely started from scratch, and they have no ability to self-correct. And so that's where we are. That's why I don't think that this dangerous rhetoric of comparing Republicans to Nazis, comparing President Trump to Hitler, this is why I don't think that they have it within them. I'm talking about the secular media and the Democrat Party. I don't think they have it within them to tell themselves that, hey, this is not healthy, this is unsustainable, this isn't a way to conduct politics and civil discourse in a society. I just don't think they have the ability to do that. So political and practical defeat is really the only route forward here. I mean, you can't let the party with no control and no self-control and self-restraint continue completely unhindered into the future. They have to be corrected. They have to be reined in. That's why we have separation of powers. This is why we have elections. And this election could very well be a complete rejection of this Marxism, hedonism, and paganism. And it took record high inflation, an obliterating of the American economy, and importing of millions of foreigners to wake everybody up to this reality that the Democrat Party as a whole, they don't want anything left of this country. They want to start from scratch. They want to start over. And so we're a ways off from any semblance of restoring this nation to what it once was. But this election could very well be a check on the Democrat Party and their out-of-control hedonism. Very well could be. And this is what godlessness gets you, if we're honest. The Democrat Party has really fallen prey to the radicals within the party, which now make up a majority of the party. Ones that hate our Constitution, hate our founding fathers, don't believe in God, and if you talk about God, they're going to shut you down. They want to lock up pro-lifers. They want to keep political prisoners locked up indefinitely without trial. They don't want any religious exemptions for abortion. They want to force Christian doctors to perform abortions. They want the government to pay for it. They want to mutilate our children in the name of sexual identity. Folks, this is a party eating itself right before us.
You know, there are many ways we can impact the world around us. Some are more direct, like helping our neighbors and serving in our churches. Other ways are broad, like becoming community leaders or supporting missions. Of course, taking care of our families is a given. If there was a way to impact all of those at once, would you be interested? The AFA Foundation is a great way to touch your family, your neighbors, and even complete strangers all over the country. You may not realize it, but you can support AFA with a charitable gift annuity, a trust, your will, or a charitable rollover. We realize not everyone knows what those are or how to set them up, but that's okay. Many of your questions can be answered on our website, afafoundation.net. Find answers and resources to help you make an informed decision, and if your decision is to move forward, you can get in touch with Riley, Chelsea, or Jessica to start setting up your legacy. Touch more lives than you imagined possible when you visit afafoundation.net today.
At the Core podcasts are available at afr.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Well, a scripture that is fitting for our discussion today, Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. I think that pretty well sums up those who are fomenting violence, hatred, actual bigotry, and anti-Christian sentiments in our culture today. They will return to what they know, and what they know is hatred, vitriol, and ungodly passion for the things of the Lord. And so that's what we're experiencing right before our very eyes. And because they don't have the Holy Spirit, which brings about humility and conviction, they return to their ways. They return to their ungodliness each and every time. Well, tell me how much this makes sense. So this is an article out of Oregon, and Portland police are canceling days off for officers to prepare for potential 2024 election unrest, the police chief says. So let me get, and this is because of the Antifa crowd. They're claiming that they're gonna riot and they're gonna protest if Trump wins the election in Portland. So let me get this right. All right, so the Democrats, which is the party of Antifa and Marxism, the Democrats fully run the state of Washington. They're fully in control of the state of Washington, and Oregon. They're fully in, I'm thinking of Seattle because they do the same thing there. Democrats are fully in control of Oregon, and they're fully in control of Portland. And they have been for who knows how long. This probably goes back decades. Just like your Detroits of the world, your Chicagos of the world, they're under 50, 60-year-old Democrat reign, if not longer. Some of them go back 70, 80 years. And the Democrats, basically, and in parentheses, the Marxists, they're going to protest in their own Democrat stronghold and destroy their fellow Democrats' businesses and force their own tax dollars to be used to clean up the mess. Now tell me how much that makes sense. That would be the equivalent. Where is MAGA land? Like, I don't know, like, the heart of red, like Texas. Let's go to Texas. This will be the equivalent of conservatives picking like a deep red city in Texas, which, who knows, there's several, and rioting and protesting and looting their own city because somebody like 2,000 or 3,000 miles away won an elected office. I mean, what are we accomplishing here? What are we accomplishing here? So maybe let's look at Proverbs again. Proverbs 1:32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. This is what when Scripture talks about how godlessness brings about destruction. I mean, this is Exhibit A. This is Exhibit A. And this is why there's no doubt in my mind that if America is going to survive and be it thrive for that matter, in the long term, I'm talking about 50, 100, 200 years out. Of course, assuming the Lord doesn't return in the interim, then America is going to have another spiritual awakening. Because all of the avenues, and this, folks, this crosses party lines here. All of the avenues of restoration, of revival, of human flourishing flow through a biblical understanding of humanity and the world. And if you don't embrace God's ways, ultimately you will end up at the destination that is destruction, both spiritually and physically. And so let's don't kid ourselves. There is no political party our group of people that can thrive without at some point coming to grips that God's way is the only way. It doesn't matter. This is the problem with any political philosophy or ideology that detaches itself from God's truth. And we've seen this with the Republican Party, for this matter, where the Republican Party tries to nuance the issue of homosexuality and transgenderism and act as if that for some reason it's acceptable if adults do evil things, but if minors do evil things, then that's not okay. And we try to draw this line at like adulthood versus childhood. Folks, the reality is that sexual deviancy is wrong, it's sinful, and it shouldn't be permissible. It doesn't matter how old you are. Like, tell me logically how much sense it makes to say that a 35-year-old can mutilate their own body through quote-unquote procedures, but we're against a 13-year-old doing it. But we're okay if a 35-year-old, under the guise of medical treatment, mutilates their bodily autonomy. Why is that okay at age 35, but it's not okay at age 13 or 17? Well, Walker, they're adults, and they ought to be able to make their own decision. No, we don't say that about anything else. We don't promote suicide. Oh, wait, some people do promote suicide. We shouldn't promote suicide because they're of age. We don't promote and permit other forms of bodily harm because they're of age. So, no, God's law and God's standards apply whether you're 3 years old or 100 years old. It doesn't matter. The guardrails that should be in place to regulate society and set humans up for flourishing under God's design ought to be in place no matter what the age is. And this gets into a broader discussion of what's permissible and what's not. Not what's legal and what's illegal. I'm talking about what's permissible according to the cultural and human standards. And if you begin permitting evil and permitting bad things, ungodly things, under the guise of, well, they're adults and they can decide for themselves, folks, that's the illogical path that gets you towards a place where now all things are permissible and all things are okay. And so we're going to have to, as a society, come to grips with the fact that God's law and God's standards is the only path towards human flourishing, not to mention the only path towards honoring God, our creator and our sustainer. Moving on to a few other stories and some clips, Kamala Harris, you know, on the issue of the border, she is all over the map. And I've really come to the conclusion that the reason she's having a hard time campaigning is because she's trying to be somebody that she's not. So I was having a conversation over the weekend, and I was just like, I just don't understand why she can't articulate her positions. And the person I was talking to said, well, maybe Walker, because she doesn't believe her positions. And she's trying to be somebody that she's not. I'm just fully convinced at this juncture, at this point, that that's absolutely the case. She's in her heart of hearts, she's a Marxist. She's a socialist. She's a communist. She's a deep blue California Democrat. And she's trying to be this moderate Democrat candidate for president. And it's just not there. It's something that she's really having this struggle with internally of which side do I fall? And she's never had to be a moderate, middle of the road national politician before. So she's just really struggling with her own political identity. Let's listen to, this is a clip going back to 2020 and 2019 where Harris says that we should abolish ICE and completely start from scratch. Clip two.
Signs at the rally you just held were people standing there saying, abolish ICE.
Yeah.
Is that a position that you agree with?
Listen, I think there's no question that we've got to critically re-examine ICE and its role and the way that it is being administered and the work it is doing. And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
All right. So this is, that was Kamala Harris, Sam. Look, with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is an agency that her and Biden are over right now, they're in charge of that agency. She said, look, I just think we need to abolish it and start from scratch. All right. So that's in my opinion, that's the true Kamala Harris. All right. Because you heard how she calmly and pretty eloquently just answered the question. And it was a very clear answer. That was her position. All right. But now let's listen to this. Now, this is a more recent example in the last few weeks where she tries to talk about border security, but it sounds so unnatural. Let's listen to clip one.
This topic was brought up last night, but will construction of a southern border wall continue in your administration?
I will tell you that my highest priority is to put the resources into ensuring that our border is secure, which is why I've been very clear. I'm going to bring back up as president that bipartisan border security bill and make sure that it is brought to my desk so I can sign it into law.
All right. That wasn't the question. The question was, are you going to continue to build the Trump border wall? That was the question. But you notice she couldn't answer it directly. Well, I'm going to put more resources. Well, no, that's not what we're talking about. And by the way, I don't want to hear one more time this garbage about, oh, we tried to pass a bipartisan border bill and Trump blocked it. No, what you guys were trying to do is y'all were trying to drastically expand the resources of your human smuggling operation that you're running at the border. And this is the difference. The quote unquote more resources at the border, that is code speak for we're going to bring in more illegals. That's exactly what this is about. We don't need more resources. They got plenty of resources. And I'm so sick and tired of people in the government talking about, we need more money. We need more resources. Give me a break. You guys are printing money like nobody's business. And you want to talk about, we need more money. We need more resources. No, you just need to do your job. Bobby's laughing because he knows it's true. I mean, every time we turn the corner and there's a problem, they go, well, we're just underfunded, like with FEMA. Well, you're underfunded because you're blowing your money on illegal immigrant housing. That's why you're out of money. And by the way, FEMA's budget was like 3 days old when that hurricane hit. And they claimed they were out of money. We just did a new budget like 3 weeks ago. You can't be out of money. Nobody wanted to talk about that. But Yeah, the thing about the border is we don't need more resources, i.e. more Border Patrol agents to drive the buses to smuggle the little kids in so they can get sex trafficked. By the way, I don't know how you can be at a high-level position in this administration and with good conscience participate in this human smuggling operation. There's like a couple hundred thousand kids that we don't even know where they are, which would be a huge scandal if anybody else were president, and I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make that scandal Trump's. That's because we're busing in, we're flying in kids, and then we're dumping them at these shelters and putting them with families or people that we don't even know who they are. But we don't need more resources. We need a wall, and we need to deport people ASAP. While we're on this, let me just tell you. Here's how you fix this border issue. And Trump's got half the picture, but let me fill in the rest. All right, not only do we need a wall, is we need expedited incarceration and deportation infrastructure on the border. I'm talking about as soon as you cross the Rio Grande, there is massive detention facilities where you get taken from the banks of the Rio Grande 300 yards inland to a massive detention facility. We can make it nice and air-conditioned with bedding and all that. And then the judges that do your hearing, they're there too. All right? None of this. Tell me how dumb it is that we release the criminals inland and tell them to show up in 3 years at a court date. Now, you want to tell me how dumb that is? This doesn't make any sense at all. We need expedited deportation processing at the border, and there's no reason we can't do this. You have a border along the entire wall, you have a wall along the entire border. As soon as they cross, they're apprehended. You have Customs and Border Patrol dispatch centers like every mile or two along the border. This is no-brainer stuff. This is how we secure our military bases around the world. As soon as you cross, you're apprehended. We take you to a detention facility on the border, within eyesight of the border, and you stay there, whether it's 1 week or 3 weeks or 3 hours, you stay there until it's your time to go back home. And then when it's your time to go back home, you get on a bus, we drive you back about 3 hours into Mexico, and we drop you off. That's the border policy. And you just do that on repeat, and I'll guarantee you they'll quit coming across that border.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to the last segment of the program. Well, there you have it. That was the Culture Warrior clip coming back into the program. That was the latest trailer that we have out. And today is the day where if you're a monthly partner, if you're a Great Commission partner and you donate monthly to American Family Association or American Family Radio, you can actually watch the full movie online at stream.afa.net. Most of you already have an account. Most of you already have an account. Thank you, Bobby. That was
Pleasure.
Intentional. That was intentional.
That one was.
Most of you have an account, but if you don't, just use the same email that you use when you donate online. When you donate, use that same email to create an account over at stream.afa.net, and you'll have immediate access to the Culture Warrior film. And if for some reason you're having issues, we've got a full support team ready to get that worked out on your account end at stream.afa.net. Well, the producer and the director, MD Perkins, is with us now. MD, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Walker.
Well, MD, this has been a couple years in the making.
Yes, sir.
I remember kind of the early days of, you know, should we do a documentary, should we not? But you've been doing this probably between 2 and 3 years now. But kind of tell us how this began and just how it really started to snowball into this huge project.
Yeah, the initial talks or thinking about this go all the way back to 2018. And then, because it takes so much time to do the research. And so I had to have the background on Don and the ministry before I could really even figure out what is this movie going to be? What are we going to cover and all that? So all of that background prep then got us in position to, like, 3 years ago, begin to start planning out what was this movie going to look like. And, you know, it was just God's providence. So many things opened up at the right time. You know, we were getting a new building, and old closets were being gone through and finding boxes of old tapes and, you know, getting certain key interviews before a couple of people who were in the documentary have since passed away since we filmed with them. And so, you know, just God's providence opening up so many opportunities along the way to try and bring the story to the screen.
Yeah, folks, we're talking about Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. That's the name of the film. And for those who donate monthly to American Family Association, that film's available right now up at AFA Stream, stream.afa.net. But for the general public, it's going to be out in about 2 weeks on November 11th, and we're going to continue promoting it through the end of the year pretty heavily. We're talking to MD Perkins. He produced the film, and I joke, MD, about how you know more about my grandfather than definitely I do, but probably my dad and Buddy and some of the rest of our leadership team here. If not more, you're probably on par with them as far as being able to recall things about my grandfather's life. But to your point about God's providence, my favorite story as far as like the behind the scenes putting it together was when Shan Easterling, one of our engineers here, he's been here a long time, probably 20 plus years. He was helping clean out a closet in the old building before he built the Don Wildman Center for Cultural Transformation, which is what we're in now. And he actually was toting a box over to you guys.
Yep.
And he was basically like, hey, you know, this is about to go in the garbage. I mean, do y'all want to look through it? But tell a little bit about that.
Yeah, what the box contained about 70 VHS tapes, many of which were things of original talks of Don from back in the 1980s. Decency rallies that he held in Indianapolis and Birmingham. These were tapes that I had looked for. I'd actually asked your dad if he knew where one of these was, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had seen it advertised in the journal. I knew certain things existed, but I had not been able to find some of these key assets. But, you know, thankfully somebody looked in the right place and thought to bring it to us. And, you know, we started to digitize that stuff. And really, we wouldn't have a movie without it, quite honestly, because we use, even though your granddad was not in good physical shape to be able to be interviewed while we were working on the project, what we have are key interviews and statements from him from throughout his life and career.
Yeah.
So in the time, him saying why the Disney boycott was important or why we needed to focus on boycotting 7-Eleven or the problems with pornography and all these different issues.
Yeah. You know, watching the film, and I've watched it twice now, it's kind of eerily similar to what we're dealing with today.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of overlap. And you wouldn't think that. Now there's different battles maybe that we're dealing with that they weren't dealing with, talking about my grandfather and that high entire movement, you know, in the 70s and 80s. But there sure is a lot of overlap. I mean, whether it's pornography, whether it's protecting children, whether it's Disney promoting, you know, godlessness and sexual deviancy. I mean, the offenders, right? The offenders of the culture. It's a lot of the same names.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a surprise in one sense. I mean, we knew things were bad, but going through the research, Walker, and starting to realize how so many of these key issues are still a part of the talking points today.
Yeah.
When, you know, and you're talking about pornography proliferation in the early 1980s, well, of course, now pornography proliferation is different. You're not talking about magazines in convenience stores. You're talking about smartphones. You're talking about computers, internet pornography, which, of course, AFA got in on that fight in the early 2000s as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the issues are the same because people have been impacted by this. And so what we're getting now, and part of, I think, where the film is able to shine some light on the situation is it's like, how did we get here? Hmm. Well, all of the things that your granddad was warning about, of the long-term effects of these things on society, on individuals, on families, now this is multi-generational fruit of those things being unleashed in society.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I found shocking, MD. Once again, we're talking about culture warrior Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. The film set to release mid-November. It's out for monthly partners right now at stream.afa.net. But one thing that was shocking to me was that pornography, both soft and hard pornography, was the porn industry was wanting to get it in to convenience stores,
yeah,
and grocery chains, and they were putting it on the shelf at eye level of children. That was like a no big deal for them, right? And then until my grandfather and others came along, but now we don't have to deal with that for the most part,
yeah,
at most of your major chains. We're not, you're not dodging past Playboy or pornographic magazines. But that's just shocking to me that at the time that was being normalized.
Right. And I think the thing that's important for people now to realize is that the fact that you don't see Playboys on the shelves at your local grocery store did not happen organically.
Mm.
It happened as a result,
yes,
of the efforts that happened in the 80s and 90s by Don Wildman and many others who were in the fight trying to get individual store chains to remove those magazines, raising a stink. Oftentimes a store manager would say, I would like to get rid of these magazines, but nobody's complained about them.
Mm.
And Don would use that as an action point, go alert people to this, call the store manager. He may actually be favorable to this, but he needs a reason. He needs somebody, to complain about it before he can actually initiate the removal of that. And so, of course, you had various groups that really dug in their heels on it. 7-Eleven was a prolonged campaign. It's a very short part of the movie, but really, that started 1983 until 1986, and even then 7-Eleven denied the AFA was really involved in that.
They pulled the porn magazines,
Yeah, 7-Eleven did, yeah, end up pulling the porn magazines out of there. But, there was also a major national conversation that was happening that corresponded with the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography, mm-hmm, under Edwin Meese.
Yes.
And so there was a lot of...
Was that Reagan? I think that was Reagan.
Yeah, under the Reagan AG administration. So, yeah, that was... there was a lot of discussion about this that was happening. But, the surprising thing was that the biggest seller of pornography were those convenience stores. It,
yeah,
wasn't the adult bookstores. It was these big convenience store chains.
Yeah, and I believe that part of the Reagan Revolution, as it was called, was because of the evangelical uprising.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Don Wildman, but your James Dobsons,
yep,
your D. James Kennedy, your Jerry Falwells. That coalition, if you will,
yeah,
really helped Reagan get into the White House. Let me ask you this. This gets into theology and worldview, but the unbelieving world, and even some Christians, they have a hard time understanding why cultural engagement and promoting biblical understanding and values on secular corporations, meaning corporations that exist to do business, their primary purpose is not spiritual in nature. They're providing, right, goods and services to the broad public. Many Christians have trouble connecting the dots as to why cultural engagement and advancing a biblical understanding of our world onto corporations is important. They say, what does that have to do with converting unbelievers to Christ and things like that? But help kind of connect the dots, because, mm-hmm, it does matter.
Yeah.
And the ideals and the values and the standards that are displayed by even secular corporations have an effect on society. So just kind of unbox that a little bit.
Yeah, so I think one of the big things to understand is that out of love for our neighbors is part of why we do this, because this is helpful for the common good.
Hmm.
And so that notion of decency that was originally part of AFA's initial name, National Federation for Decency, that idea, which is a little bit ambiguous, but at the same time, it also clarifies what the point of attack is. And so Don's initial approach was actually not a theological proposition. It was this common grace appeal that this is harmful for people, that the effects, mm-hmm, of television is going to diminish people's understanding of the world, the way they interact with each other, the way that they think about parental relationships or about violence or about sexuality or all these different things. There's going to be these trickle-down effects that begins to impact not just you individually, but people that you meet, your neighbors, your friends that your kids have, people in your church, people are impacted by these things at a larger level. And so for Christians to be able to stand up and speak out is kind of the first line of like, wait, we live in a society where you don't have to just sit back and accept the status quo.
Yeah.
You actually have an opportunity, and therefore, because you have the freedom, you have the responsibility to speak up and to speak out. And so that's kind of where he fell in this.
Yeah, and to your point, this, you know, public policy, cultural engagement, and even corporate policy, these things are not salvific. Right. And there's no Christian of proper biblical understanding that claims that passing a law or getting a corporation to pull magazines from the shelves is going to save people and send them to heaven. That's not a biblical understanding.
Right.
But it is true that policies and behavior and standards do set up guardrails for society.
Absolutely.
That are either going to point them towards paganism, hedonism, and godlessness and kind of bend them in that direction, or it's going to point them to the fact that we have a creator and we're responsible for being good stewards.
Right. If part of the role of government is to restrain evil, then mm-hmm. you don't want the government to call evil good.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, I mean, that's part of what we're doing here when we're raising awareness about these issues, is we're trying to make it clear where that line is between what is good and what is evil. And yeah, there may be some difference of opinion about what the best strategy is to accomplish that ultimate goal of the good
yeah.
and presenting that. But at the end of the day, I mean, we are trying to make that stand and that distinction between good and evil, because that is part of the government's role in this.
Yeah, exactly. And when you understand government's role as created by God, as purposed by God, it's not hard to connect all those dots and
right.
understand that government ought to be a force for good, meaning they ought to promote godly things and punish the evildoer. That's what Scripture says. But I think the reason Christians have difficulty connecting all these dots is because they don't have a proper view of government.
Yeah.
For some reason, we think government is this secular institution that was created by man, and it can be used for a variety of purposes, both good and evil. But the proper understanding is that God created government just as he did the family and the church, and they all have their distinct function, and they all should be promoting godly things. In mass. So, MD, we got about 2 minutes left, but just give us kind of your final thoughts, maybe one thing that you learned throughout this massive project of Culture Warrior.
Well, I just learned the importance and the value of taking a public stand and the value of the public witness. Gary Glenn, who's one of the guys that we interviewed, he sadly passed away, but he made the point of this whole notion of the spiral of silence, that when Christians don't hear their values presented publicly, that it tends to create in them a feeling that there is no voice for them. And so they're less likely to speak up. And so part of what he said he learned this from Don was that to speak up, even if the battle was going to be lost because it was overwhelmingly on the other side, he wasn't going to give it for free.
That's good stuff. Folks, one of many things that AFA has done over the years is we've been a voice, to MD's point, for millions of Christians around the country who think that, hey, this shouldn't be permitted, this shouldn't be allowed, or we should be promoting godly things, but they don't hear anybody on the mainstream media talking about it. Well, we try to bring that voice to American culture. And one of the ways that we're doing that now is through the Culture Warrior movie, out now. Go to culturewarrior.movie. If you're a monthly partner, you'll have instructions there on how to watch it. Otherwise, it'll be out for the public in mid-November. MD, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, folks, culturewarrior.movie. We've got the full trailer out there now for anybody who wants to watch it. culturewarrior.movie. Go there, check it out. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we have partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.